Nachamu, Nachamu, Shalom, and welcome to this week's special, comforting edition of the Jewish Experience. Yes, we made it through the worst 3 weeks in the Jewish calendar, mourning for the destruction of the two temples in Jerusalem. And now, God Himself comes to comfort us in the next 7 weeks as we prepare for the new year. We really can't be comforted, though, while our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land are under so much turmoil. The 30-year residents of Gush Katif in the northern Shomron are being forcefully evicted from their homes for no other reason than they're Jewish. It's a scary form of ethnic cleansing because it's Jew doing it to Jew. I'll have more to say about that after the aftermath of all this in today's Candid Comments. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, and the Torah portion this week is V'eschanan. And this Shabbos is called Shabbos Nachamu after the first words in the Haftorah where God says, Nachamu, Nachamu, comfort, comfort to His people Israel, which has just been through a very terrible time, watching their holy temple be destroyed. But at least the Holy One, blessed be He, took His wrath out on His building and never cut His eternal bond with His people. And now we see His wrath demonstrated today, once again, destroying buildings in the settlements of Israel. May we be able to see all this destruction turn into rebuilding with the coming of Mashiach today, immediately. And of course, the way to do that is by doing God's commandments or mitzvahs. So let's not forget that candlelighting time for this Shabbos is 7:53 p.m. But right now, let's join Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, Dr. Michael Shulman, Chef Chaim Reisner, and special guest Devorah DeLynn, who will be our substitute musical director today, while our own Moshe Bikar is attending to his wife's recent loss of her beloved father. May the Bikar family know only simchas in the days and months ahead. The rest of us are all here to help you get in the mood for yet another exciting Shabbos Nachamu. We'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up on the half hour. This week's program is sponsored in part by Burton Hirsch Funeral Home and by Artistic Photography when you want to get it right the first time. By the way, they also sponsor the Jewish Experience Radio Program's website, jewishexperienceradio.com. Hey, stop by for a visit and stay for a Jewish experience. And this week we're back in full swing with all your musical favorites, and this time all the musical selections were chosen by my daughters Chaya Sarah and Devorah DeLynn. So you're in for a real treat, right, Devorah?
That's right, Tal.
Well, tell us what's up first on the Jewish experience.
Okay, let's get the blood moving into another exciting Shabbos with one of my special favorites, the Hayah Machanecha Kadosh by Miami Boys Choir.
Tell it careful.
Now let's shift gears with Gershon Vroba, I Will Teach You More Than That.
The Rebbe saw that we were trying, and he told us with a smile, you see, you've really been applying our words that are so gold. I know that all of you are the Torah that you know. Remember that it is forever. It will keep the Jews alive, and the truth keeps out the lies. Oh, I will teach you more. You more than that. I taught you daily in yeshiva. You got real good at catching on. I said the Torah is forever. The learning never ends. And the Torah.
Now here's Rabbi Meir Goldwasser with a very important message about the importance of education and the role of the mother and the father in the raising of their children. Rabbi?
This week's Sedra contains the familiar verse, Shema Yisrael. One of the verses in this prayer is, and you shall teach the words of the Torah to your children. The Talmud relates that the great sage Abba Chilkiah and his wife were both charitable. Yet, when they both prayed for rain in a time of need, her prayers were answered before her husband's. The explanation is that Abba Chilkiah gave money to the needy with which to buy food. His wife, however, gave the food itself, not merely the means with which to buy food. For this thoughtfulness, her prayers were answered before her husband's. Charity is not limited to material assistance. It extends to supplying the spiritual needs of another. For example, ensuring the correct Jewish education and upbringing of one's children, for indeed charity is not only helping a stranger, but even one's own family, is no less tzedakah than feeding and clothing them. In this form of charity too, we find that the father provides the means, but the mother gives the child the spiritual food itself. Every Jewish father is commanded by Hashem that you shall teach the words of Torah to your children. Yet, most fathers do not directly teach their children. The fathers engage a teacher or a Jewish school to do it for them, and the fathers fulfill their mitzvah indirectly. The Alter Rebbe once said to one of his followers, "I am obliged to fulfill the mitzvah." The Alter Rebbe once said to one of his followers, "I am obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of teaching the words of Torah to my children. You are obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of supporting your family. Let's exchange. I will give you the financial means to fulfill your mitzvah, and you help me observe my mitzvah by teaching my son Beryl." The follower taught his young son, who later became the famed Mittler Rebbe. In the father's giving charity to his child, he does not supply the actual spiritual sustenance, but only the preparation for it. He pays the teacher, and the teacher instructs the child. On the other hand, the mother provides the spiritual nourishment itself. She must see to it that the little boy wears his talis kotem, his tzitzis, at all times, that the child washes his hands with negelwasser in the morning, that he pronounces brachas, the blessings, before eating or drinking, and so on. For even a child who studies in a yeshiva or day school might frustrate all his teacher's efforts by neglecting to implement at home the Judaism he has absorbed in school. It is the mother who must guard against this possibility and train the child in correct Torah conduct. And like Abba Chilkiyo's wife, she earns the reins of blessing and success for her entire family.
All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, but it's a comfort to know that in your time of need, that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association, and they work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. They're so concerned about meeting those total needs that they meet with area rabbis on a regular basis. They've reduced the cost of a funeral. They have packages specifically for your synagogue in your area, and it pays to check it out because you can save quite a bit. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. And Deborah Price, the funeral home supervisor, was born and raised in Pittsburgh, and she really wanted to come back here, and she's working very, very, very hard to meet the needs of the Jewish community in Pittsburgh, especially with regard to Price. Did you know that Burton Hirsch is also involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? So in your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. And they welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. Deborah Price, supervisor. Don't forget, for your next Simcha, it's Artistic Photography. That's artistic-photography.com by Mordechai Saxon when you want to get it right the first time.
אתכם מתוך אהבה אני בא עליכם וכל שאומר לכם אהובים ברוכים אתם לאלוקים באתי היום אני כאן איתכם עם כל התפילות שלי שלכם זה זמן לבקש זו שעת רחמים ברוכים אתם לאלוקים תראו אתכם מאושרים כל כך איך כמעט כל הכאב שבי נשכח שנדע רק טוב באושר וחיים טובים ברוכים אתם לאלוקים שנדע רק טוב באושר וחיים טובים ברוכים אתם לאלוקים
Great song, Bati Hayom. Even with the situation being as bad as it is in Israel, we know that Bati Hayom Hashem will bring the day when we will be redeemed. In the spirit of redemption and healing, our next song up by Lev Tahar, Rifa'enu.
Keep the healer saying you are
stop by and visit with the author of Miraculous Journey. Here's Rabbi Yosef Eisen. Rabbi?
This Shabbos is the 15th of Av, which is considered a joyous day due to several happy events in Jewish history. First, during the 40-year stay in the desert, God decreed that the generation who listened to the evil report of the spies would die out. 15,000 men died every Tisha B'Av, but on the last Tisha B'Av in the desert, no one died. When the full moon of the 15th of Av arrived, the Jews realized that the decree was lifted, and they celebrated. Second, also in the desert, the tribes were not permitted to intermarry in order to prevent one tribe inheriting a portion in another tribe's territory when they enter the land of Israel. Once the land of Israel was conquered and settled in the days of Joshua, all tribes could marry each other. The prohibition was lifted on the 15th of Av. Third, during the days of the judges, there was a terrible civil war between the tribe of Benjamin and the rest of the Jewish people. To punish Benjamin, the Jews agreed not to marry into their tribe. The ban was lifted on the 15th of Av. Fourth, during the waning days of the kingdom of the 10 tribes, their last king, Hoshea ben Ela, on the 15th of Av, removed the guards that prevented the citizens of the 10 tribes from offering sacrifices at the temple in Jerusalem, which was in the rival kingdom of Yehuda. Fifth, during Roman times, the Romans permitted the many Jews slain at Beitar to be buried on the 15th of Av. Miraculously, their bodies had not decomposed. Sixth, in temple times, the 15th of Av was the final day to cut wood for the altar, as wood cut in Israel after that date is of inferior quality. May we merit the coming of Mashiach soon and have more reasons to celebrate the 15th of Av.
Now with all the upheaval and tumult going on in the land of Israel, let's turn now to Israel national news.
The army plans to complete the eviction of residents from the Jewish community of Gadid in the Gaza Strip today. Also to be evicted are their supporters. Israel National Radio's Yishai Fleischer, who has been living in Gadid for a month, says most of the original families have left.
All the little houses are filled with young people and even older ones who are standing on the roofs waving flags and telling the army, you know, why are you coming to kick me out of my house? A few families who have moved into here a few months ago are watering their lawn and hanging out their laundry and trying to show life was completely normal. The army was scheduled to come here last night, but when they found out that there was a lot of youth here who was getting ready to siege themselves in, to barricade themselves in, they decided to come with light of day. They've come also with helmets and other gear, and the eviction continues here in Gadid.
Israel National Radio's Yishai Fleischer. Disengagement Authority officials have announced the eviction of the Kfar Darom community from their houses. Completed during the night, the community turned over to the control of the army. Officials reporting over 650 people removed from the community, over 160 arrested during the operation. People arrested during Thursday's expulsion in Kfar Darom compelled to remain in wet clothing during the night in jail. Many were soaked by the police water cannon directed at them. Some reportedly were handcuffed throughout the night, unable to change into dry clothing. Eight policemen and soldiers who took part in the expulsion of Gush Katif residents remain in Soroka Medical Center in Be'er Sheva, all of them injured in Kfar Darom, sustaining light injuries. Hospital official Professor Arnon Vishnitzer expecting them to be discharged in the coming days. Disengagement prisoners in Dekel prison refusing to cooperate with authorities, not agreeing to identify themselves. Police indicate most of the detainees to be remanded today. Israel Police Southern Commander Uri Barlev telling Israel Government Radio that criminal indictments will be filed against many of the people arrested during the implementation of the Gaza-Samaria disengagement plan. Bar-Lev explained the level of violence used against police in Kfar Dorom was unacceptable, taking the opportunity to commend the majority of Gush Katif residents who exhibited passive resistance acting in an acceptable fashion. Some of the Gush Katif refugees are coming out publicly to express their anger toward the outsiders who used violent, unacceptable tactics against police and army troops who came to Kfar Dorom on Thursday to evict them from their homes. While the former Gush residents were pained and angry at the government, most residents interviewed agreed that the army and police are not the enemy, rather the nation's security forces doing their jobs. They explained the scene aired on international television from the Kfar Dorom synagogue rooftop besmirched the image of the entire community, further shifting world opinion against them. While residents agreed to compel soldiers to carry them out, deciding to use passive nonviolent resistance as their primary weapon and form of protest, many of the youths who during recent weeks came to the Gush to support residents were unwilling to heed to instruction from rabbis and community leaders, including those of the Council of Residents of Judea, Samaria, and Gaza. According to police, 949 people detained and arrested during the 2 days of the implementation of the expulsion plan. 635 of them have since been released. Authorities report that over 3,000 people were removed from Gush Katif communities during the 2 days, including residents of the area and their supporters. Expellees from Netzer Hazani arriving at the western wall of the temple in Jerusalem during the night. They were received there warmly by many worshippers who began to sing and dance in their honor. Gunfire directed at army soldiers in the Rafah area of southern Gaza along the Egyptian border. No injuries reported. Security remains enhanced in the Ramallah district of Samaria north of Jerusalem following this week's attack in the Shiloh area by an area Jewish resident, which claimed the lives of four Arabs from the PLO-assigned areas. Israeli troops and security personnel in Jewish townships fear Arab residents of the area may attempt a revenge attack. The shekel's value continuing to rise Thursday. At the close of business, 4.477 shekels to the dollar, a drop of 1.2% in the value of a dollar since the expulsion began. The shekel was weak in the morning after a violent confrontation in Gush Katif, but later regained strength. Stocks again reaching record highs following additional reports that economic growth is exceeding expectations. The Tel Aviv 25 index closing at 713.3, 5% higher than at the beginning of the week. It sank to 280 as recently as 2 years ago. It's Yud Dalet, or the 14th day of the month of Av on the Jewish calendar, and the forecast from the Israel National Radio Weather Center. Clear to partly cloudy with no change in temperatures today, a drop in temperatures on Shabbat, no significant change Sunday or Monday. In Jerusalem and Haifa today, 31 degrees centigrade, 88 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea and the Dead Sea, 40 degrees centigrade, 104 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
And my favorite part of the program, it's time for the Mazel Tovs. And first, our own Rabbi Meir Goldwasser has his birthday this Shabbos. So if you see him, be sure to say happy birthday.
Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov.
And Mr. and Mrs. Brian Miller on the bar mitzvah of their son, Maddie. Rabbi and Mrs. Aaron Brody on the marriage of their son, Ephraim.
A big Mazel Tov.
And Rabbi and Mrs. Akiva Grossberg on the birth of their son.
Mazel Tov.
And Rich Walters on the publication of his book, Minju.
Sound like a good read.
Hey, Bill and Sharon Brustein on the engagement of their son Adam to Robin, and Bernard Guskey on his special birthday. And finally, Sarita and Milton Eisner on their 50th anniversary.
A wet big Mazel Tov.
Okay, turning to events now in the community, Scott Hillman, Executive Director of Jews for Judaism, will be speaking at Polyzetic on the topic of They Get Them, Why Can't We? A Jewish Response to Jews for Jesus on Tuesday, August 30th at 7:30 p.m. Jewish Community Day at Kennywood, Sunday, August 28th. Glad Kosher food available in Pavilion 5 from 12 until 7 p.m. The park opens at 10:30. Rides begin at 11 a.m. For more information, contact your local synagogue or community center. The meeting of Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous meets in the Aleph Institute every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. This program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or weight. For more information, call Ilan at 412-422-2224. If you or your organization would like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, please call 412-979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 7:53 p.m. Breaking news in today's Candid Comments. Hamas gloats over withdrawal. Hamas said the Gaza Strip withdrawal was the beginning of the end of Israel. Quote, we see the withdrawal as the first step toward liberation and regaining all of our rights. And they continue on. And guess what? You know what? They're right. With Israel backing off from its promise never to back off from the settlements, Ariel Sharon ran on that platform to never back off the settlements. Israel has basically given in to the Palestinians, who now are in control. The Palestinians, after 5 years of terrorism, 5 years of killing grandparents and daughters and people sitting at Passover Seders, people sitting in pizza parlors, doing nothing except being Jewish, murdering them, the Palestinians have now shown that terrorism works. And guess what? If you think in the U.S. you're immune to that, they're taking it over to you too. Why? Because it works. And they know it works. Just like in Iraq right now, terrorism is also working against the United States, and we can't even begin to handle it. So in this kind of situation, what's happening now is becoming the fact that terrorism is going worldwide. And it's a very serious issue. Israel could have stood up to this situation. The settlements could have defended themselves. They wanted to defend themselves. If they would have put out something on the internet to tell people they want to defend themselves, they would have had thousands of people come in there to defend themselves. Israel has lost the moral high ground. They lost it both in Lebanon. They lost it now in the Gaza. They lost it in the northern Shomron. And by giving up the northern Shomron, they now get themselves targeted on all sides. And they have the technology to continue doing it. There was an article in the Washington Post recently that said Gaza is tomorrow's Iraq. And guess what? As the Hamas is gloating, and as they're dancing, and as they're rushing to celebrate and print as many Palestinian flags with Arafat's picture on them to place on all these houses, Israel has unfortunately made a very serious and grave error in what it's doing. If you disagree with me, you're welcome your comments to send them to jewishexperience@verizon.net. But the point is that the Palestinians demanded an Israeli withdrawal from the territories, and they got it without any concession on the part of the Palestinians. They have done nothing to back off on terrorism. They have done nothing to tell Hamas to disarm. It's a very sad day in the Jewish calendar. And, of course, the beginning of the disengagement took place on the 10th of Av, the day the temple was actually burning. It's a very, very sad day in Jewish history, and we can only hope, and pray that that the wrath of God is appeased somehow by this and comes to our aid, and it turns the tide at some point where we get back and regain the settlements and regain what God has given us, and we unfortunately carelessly throw away, and eventually complete the biblical state of Israel, and with that, the coming of the Mashiach and the final redemption. I'm Hirsch DeLynn, and that's today's Candid Comments. Up next on The Jewish Experience, here is Michael Shulman, the director of AskNoah.org.
People sometimes ask, why can't a person just make their decisions about their own life and about what is right and wrong based on their own conscience? To this we answer that a person should strive at all times to live in accordance with God's will. It is thus incumbent on a person to learn what God's will is, as revealed by his true prophets and righteous sages. Since he, in his infinite wisdom, did not choose to program this knowledge into us from birth, but rather that we should acquire this knowledge through education. There is no guarantee that a person's inherent feelings of conscience will be aligned with God's will, since each person is influenced by the secular outlook and the immoralities of the society around him, and by his own passions and self-interests. The Lubavitcher Rebbe explained this in a letter to an individual who sent him this very question, which is printed in the L'Chaim publication, volume 318. The Rebbe answered, "You write that you would love to learn what it means to walk in the presence of God. I trust that you know of the so-called seven commandments given by God to Noah and his children. These are the establishment of courts of justice, the prohibition of blasphemy, of idolatry, of incest, of bloodshed, of robbery, and of eating flesh cut from a living animal. These seven commandments which God gave to all mankind are the seven basic laws which embrace the whole life of society as well as the individual, to ensure that the human race will be guided by these divine laws of morality and ethics, and that human society will indeed be human and not a jungle. To be sure, Jews were later given many more commandments. However, this in no way diminishes the fact that Gentiles can and must attain complete fulfillment through the observance of these seven commandments of mankind, with all the ramifications. For inasmuch as they are God-given, they provide the vehicle whereby to attain communion with God, and thus walk ever in the presence of God, as you write in your letter. I would like to make an additional essential point. If there was a time when some intellectuals thought that there was no need to connect the rationally appealing laws of ethics and morality with divine authority, the fallacy of this thinking is now abundantly clear. For we have seen, in our own day and age, a whole nation that had boasted of great philosophic advancement and ethical systems sink to the lowest depth of inhuman depravity and unprecedented barbarism. And the reason for this was that they thought that they could establish a morality and ethics based on human reason, not subject to the authority of a supreme being, since they thought of themselves as a super race. There is surely no need to elaborate on the obvious. From what has been said above, it is clear that no individual can rest content with his own observance of the divine commandments, but it is his responsibility to his friends and neighbors and society at large to involve them in the observance of the divine commandments in daily life and conduct. If you would like more information about this, please visit www.asknoah.org and send us an email.
Hashem, Hashem, who Eloi kinu osoi.
get your pencils and paper ready, because it's almost time for Chaim Reisner's Kosher Kitchen, and you can find out more about him at chaimskosherkitchen.com, where you can see all his recipes. But right now, sit back and get your pencil and paper ready to take this one down. Here's Chaim.
Thanks, Hirsch. In keeping with the theme of summer cooking for Shabbos, I thought today we would try rare roast beef, which can be served cold, room temperature, or hot, and potatoes Anna, a wonderful dish to go with it. For the roast beef, here we go. You need a silver tip roast, 3 to 5 pounds, one sweet onion sliced thin, one sweet pepper seeded and sliced thin, one stalk of celery sliced thin, one carrot peeled and sliced thin, 2 cloves of crushed garlic, a little olive oil, a roasting pan, and a rack. To prepare, add 2 cups of water to the roasting pan, put the rack in the water, the meat on top of the rack. Rub the meat with extra virgin olive oil, spread the crushed garlic over it, and layer all the vegetables on the top. Take a piece of aluminum foil, fold it in half, make a crease, and lay that on the top. We call it a tent. You want to bake this in the center of an oven for rare roast beef at 250 degrees for an hour and a half, for medium, 300 degrees for an hour and a half, and remove, and you can chill it. It's best to slice it when it's cold. Now for the potatoes. You'll need 6 to 7 medium-sized potatoes, washed. You can peel them or not. 1 large Vidalia or sweet onion, peeled and sliced thin. 1 9- to 10-inch skillet or frying pan, and 1/2 cup of cooking oil. Place the cooking oil in the skillet, turn the heat up to medium. Layer the bottom of the skillet with the very thinly sliced potatoes, then the onions and the potatoes and the onions, and keep doing that until you've used them all up. Sprinkle with a little salt and pepper, and then cover. Turn the heat up until it starts to bubble around the sides, then turn the heat down, and you want to saute or fry that for at least 20 to 25 minutes. When you're finished, put a plate over the top of the pot and a towel. Flip the frying pan or the skillet over, add a little bit more oil to the skillet, slide the uncooked potatoes down into the skillet, and repeat the process until you've browned the potatoes on both sides. It's a wonderful, wonderful dish to have with the rare roast beef. Now, the juice from the roast beef, I forgot to mention, discard the vegetables and save the juice. You can even make a nice thick gravy to go with that. There you have it, Hirsch. And guess what? You made it. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. See you next week.
Can a moderate leadership emerge in a post-Arafat Palestinian society where children are recruited to be suicide bombers? Will the U.S. play a greater role in the quest for peace in the Middle East? How are American Jews and the issues we care about affected by Bush's presidency? What do Larry David, Natalie Portman, Jon Stewart, and Madonna all have in common? Who makes the best kosher hot dogs? Read the foreword and find out. Keep up with tradition and what's new and changing. Enjoy award-winning reviews and arts coverage, exclusive reporting on stories found nowhere else, provocative editorials, and news analysis on issues affecting all of us. More than ever, we need to stay in touch. And there's no better way than reading the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. Try it for 4 weeks free. You'll then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first 4 issues free. Call now for the Forward.
Call now for the Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. Tell them you heard it here on The Jewish Experience. Don't forget, for your next Simcha, it's Artistic Photography. That's artistic-photography.com by Mordechai Saxon when you want to get it right the first time.
That's one of Miami's newest songs. Just came out on the CD this year.
Oh, really? Does Chaya Sarah like that one, too?
Oh, yeah. She plays it on the keyboard all the time.
That sounds great. Now, as we wrap up our special Shabbos Nachamu edition of the Jewish Experience, here's a very deeply emotional story from the Jewish Experience's own Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
An Israeli family that had moved to the United States was once traveling on a steep road when their car slammed into a mountain bank. The accident proved fatal for the father who was driving the car. When the mother regained consciousness, she heard her three children crying in the back seat. Ever so carefully, she was able to take two of the children out of their car seats. For the car was situated in such a way that the slightest movement would cause the car to go down off the mountainside. The third child, who was sitting furthest from her, seemed impossible for her to reach. As she tried again and again, it seemed that all of her efforts would not take the child out of the seat. Finally, she tried once again, and miraculously, she was able to reach the child and bring him to safety. Soon after that, the family returned to Israel to begin their lives again in the Holy Land. The family became more observant as the woman felt that it was only through God's intervention that she was able to rescue her third child. She enrolled her children in the local yeshiva, and they began to study the Torah. One day, her son came home, and he looked very depressed. She asked her son, what was the reason? He answered that the next day they were going to have a quiz in the Gemara, and he knew he would fail. She tried to comfort her child, telling him that surely his Rebbe knows that he has just begun to study the Gemara, and surely he will allow for any mistakes. Yet, the son still remained very depressed and walked upstairs to his bedroom, saying that he really did not have much appetite for supper. The following morning, as the child was coming down the steps, the mother was very, very surprised. She expected to see her child dejected as he was the day before. However, he came down with a bright smile on his face. The mother asked her child the reason for this The child answered, "When I went to sleep, I had a dream. In the dream, my father appeared, and he told me that when I was enrolled in the yeshiva and began learning Gemara, they began teaching him in heaven the Gemara that I was learning. I said to my father, if that's the case, then you will be able to help me study so that I can do good on my test. The father said, you're 100% right. And this is the reason that the child came down the next morning with a bright smile on his face. The mother, who was telling over her story at a convention in New York, concluded by saying, and I want you to know that my son went in to take the test and he scored 100%. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
A couple of reminders. Scott Hillman, Executive Director of Jews for Judaism, will be speaking at Pulley Zedek on the topic of, quote, "They Get Them, Why Can't We?" A Jewish Response to Jews for Jesus on Tuesday, August 30th at 7:30 p.m. Don't forget Jewish Community Day at Kennywood, August 28th, which is a Sunday. You can speak to your synagogue or community center on that. The meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at the Aleph Institute every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30. Call Ilana at 422-2224. Don't forget, if you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you can call us at 412-979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And as the Sabbath approaches and we got to get out of here, I want to thank our special guest, my daughter, Devorah DeLynn. Thank you. And also Chaya Sara DeLynn for helping choose all the music you heard on the program today. And we also want to thank our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Dr. Michael Shulman and Chef Chaim Reisner for another outstanding show. And I'm sure Musical Moish will be back with us next week. Don't forget that candle lighting time this week is no later than 7:53 p.m. Until next week, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat.